As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Star Wars is back on the big screen with The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Gangsters, war criminals. I'll take out every bad guy in your deck of cards.
On May 22nd, feel the Force. On the biggest screen possible.
The old protect the young, and the young protect the old. This is the way.
Buckle up.
Always wear your seatbelt.
The Mandalorian and Grogu, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters May 22nd. Get tickets now.
Welcome back. This is episode 524 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. And all good things must come to an end. We just literally finished watching the New York Yankees drop the finale in Houston. They made a late push there with two outs in the ninth, but just wasn't enough as they dropped the finale there, and their eight-game winning streak comes to an end. The Yankees are currently 18-10 right now. They still have the best record in the American. I'm sorry, 18-9. Is that update? Yeah, 18-9. No, that's not right. They're 18-10 right now. Or it should be. I'm sorry. I thought they. Yeah, 18-10. I don't know why MLB. I thought they were 18-10, and then MLB at bat were showing them at 18-9, but they just didn't update the record for the final score yet. So they're 18-10 through the first 28 games of the season. It's a pretty good spot to be in. They are still the best team in the American League. And when you look at where they were, you know, about 2 weeks ago at dropping the five in a row, that series against the Angels where they were really, really outplayed, and it really took two Jordan Romano implosions, who, by the way, got DFA'd today, to salvage a split in that series, to where they are now, playing really good baseball. It doesn't matter, Royals, Red Sox. The Red Sox just imploded their entire coaching staff, including Alex Cora on Saturday. And we know the Astros aren't playing well. The Yankees can play down or play up to anybody. For them to go out there after that tough stretch with the five in a row losses in that series against the Angels, to go out there and win eight in a row, It showed some good resilience out of this team early. And maybe I was a little too low on the Yankees after that stretch, but I'm not going to get too high on the Yankees after this one either. It's just, again, once again, to me, throughout the course of 2026, it's put yourself in the best position to optimize your opportunity to go to the World Series. And being the first place team in the American League and having the best record in the American League is the only way to optimize that opportunity. And so if they continue down this path here, this is what we want to see going into October. So they've gotten some really good starting pitching. The offense as a whole has been a lot better in the last week and a half here. So it's been good to see out of the Yankees. You know, this was a tough game here for them today. They lose 7-4. Jazz beats out that infield hit with two outs And then they managed a 3-run rally. Although Cabby hit the ball pretty hard to end the game. And then, you know, if he gets on, you're looking at Grisham, Rice, Judge coming up there, and maybe anything can happen. But they dropped the game. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world there. But you look at this game overall and what happened to the Yankees here today. And they did hit a little bit of bad luck early on, which I hate being that guy. But they stung some balls right at some guys. And then Luis Gil is just serving up taters all day long. And to me, it was always the obvious choice that Luis Gil was going to be the guy going down to AAA, or at least being the guy removed from this rotation when the first of Rodon and Cole came back. And this just further solidified it. Luis Gil was not good today at all. You thought at least after the Red Sox game, if he could have backed up another good start here, he could have at least had the Yankees making it a conversation here. And there's no conversation to be had. Luis Gil is bumped from this rotation when the first of Rodon and Cole come back. It's just the way it's going to be. I would love somebody to argue the point that it shouldn't be Luis Gil. You can find me on X at Christian_NYYST. You can find me on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. You can leave a 5-star rating and review. Say, I love you, but this is my opinion on Luis Gil on this very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now that you should be subscribed to. This is the final season of NYYST. We don't want you to miss any new shows that we're pumping out here throughout the course of the final season. And make sure you also, while we're on the bookkeeping here, subscribe to NYY Underground so you're not missing any new episodes of The Bronx or Nowhere. Brand new episode will be live this Thursday. But I would love somebody to make the argument to me that it shouldn't be Luis Gil. Because clearly, if you look at the performance side of it, it deserves to, it, he should be the guy. He deserves to be in this rotation at least out of Ryan Weathers and Will Warren. And those are the guys that he's in this competition for, okay? So he's the first one out, just based on performance. And the fact, if you really break this down, and we'll do this one more time here for everybody, because I've done this several times, we'll do it one more time, because Luis Gil just pitched today, and Rodon and Cole are on their rehabs, and this decision is coming and coming soon, okay? Fried, Rodon, Cole all make a lot of money. Fried and Cole are your aces. Rodon, probably not tradable at this point. That's three right there. Cam Schuettler is your young, burgeoning ace right here, your young, blooming ace. Not going anywhere. Will Warren has proved to be very durable and very good in his time in a rotation. Doesn't even deserve to be discussed. And really, if you think about it, Ryan Weathers was really good. New dad, Ryan Weathers, congratulations on the baby. Was really good coming back from paternity leave on Saturday night. Really, performance-wise, doesn't deserve to be talked about, but we all know the Yankees are going to need to create two spots in this rotation. He's going to be one of them just based on the fact that he doesn't have the innings that he's going to be able to give the Yankees 30-plus starts this year after throwing 38 last year. So who's the first guy out? It's Luis Gil. The question becomes not if Luis Gil leaves the rotation. When Luis Gil leaves the rotation, what do the Yankees do with Luis Gil? Do the Yankees just say, okay, you got an option, we can send you to AAA, that's what we're going to do, we're going to leave you stretched out down there in Scranton, and we'll see what happens with Cole and Rodon coming back. Maybe they need a little bit of a breather here or there just to make sure everybody's healthy. We'll leave them down there stretched out. Or do the Yankees say, we know we need some help in a bullpen, let's see what this guy can do out there in the bullpen, even though me personally, I don't think that's going to translate well, because as one of the things you saw bite Luis Gil today was the walks, especially the walks in front of the home runs. So I don't think it's personally going to work out, but maybe the Yankees want to try and say maybe something different will click in him and he'll be more aggressive in the bullpen and throw more strikes. To me personally, I think it will be a huge surprise if once we get past the trade deadline, Luis Gil is still in the Yankee organization. Because you take the guys we just talked about, And then add on the fact that Carlos Legrange and Elmer Rodriguez are right there and ready to take a step either this year or next year into the Yankee rotation. And where does that leave Luis Gil? It leaves Luis Gil as a guy that doesn't have a spot in this organization. So I love to have somebody make the argument for me that it deserves to be somebody other than Luis Gil that gets the first boot out of here when Rodon or Cole comes back. And then, you know, we can have a discussion about who should be next. And it, to me, there is no discussion. It's going to be Ryan Weathers because of the innings. And then the same argument is going to be whether or not he goes down to AAA to stay stretched out. And then when he gets to a certain number, the Yankees are like, now he goes in the bullpen or he's just in the bullpen. But to me, you look at Luis Gil, he's a guy that's pitched the worst out of any of the starters that have thrown this year. He's a guy that injury wise, you can't trust him. So he becomes the obvious choice. And I know Luis Gil has his fans, but I mean, watch this guy. Watch this guy post Gerrit Cole returning in 2024. And tell me that's a guy that you trust in the rotation. That's a guy that you trust staying healthy. Because remember, Luis Gil made his, I always say this, Luis Gil made his major league debut in 2021. Was still eligible for the Rookie of the Year award in 2024. Why? Injuries. Through one healthy season, then got injured. Everybody likes to throw the roses at Brian Cashman that he got him for Jay Cave, which, you know, obviously good trade. Got more out of Luis Gil than you would have gotten out of Jay Cave, but still injury-prone player. Now the Yankees have finally built something here where they have a lot of options and they don't need to rely on this guy anymore. The question ultimately for me with Luis Gil is how much can you get for him? Can you get that impact right-handed bat for Luis Gil at the trade deadline? I don't think the Yankees are going to trade him immediately. You know, let's say Rodon comes back in 10 days or whatever it is, or Cole, whoever is first up, and these guys are back in a week, 10 days, 2 weeks. You know, it's coming soon, right? Mid-May. I don't think the Yankees immediately trade him, because I think they want to see how Cole and Rodon settle into this rotation. They want to see if there's any issues with any of the other guys where you have break glass in case of emergency with Luis Gil. But just how much can you get for Luis Gil right now? Can he get you the impact bat that you're looking for? Can he get you a serviceable major league hitter? The Yankees are going to need to acquire some offense here. I think that's the one, offense and bullpen. So, okay, you say maybe the offense with Jason Dominguez or George Lombard you can fill from within. I still think they should go outside of the organization and look to acquire an impact bat. But let's say we want to go that route. Is he going to provide the value for a back end of the bullpen type guy, you know, to set up for David Bednar? You know, Camilo Duvall looked really good on Saturday. He had that initial walk, and then he was ripping those 100-mile-an-hour cutters. But is that the guy we're going to see here on out? Just pasting guys with 101 with that cutter? It remains to be seen. I don't fully trust Camilo Duvall. Obviously, I trust David Bednar in the closer role. I trust Timmy Hill. We saw, I don't want to make a lot out of Fernando Cruz on Friday night. He hadn't pitched in a long time. But again, if that splitter's not split and he doesn't have a lot to go to, they're going to need help in the bullpen. So pick your lane of where you want to go with Luis Gil, whether you want to trade him for a bullpen arm or you want to trade him for a bat. It's just how high of an impact of either one of those can you get for Luis Gil? Because I think somebody will definitely take a shot on Luis Gil. He's still got good stuff. He's still got multiple years of control. It's just he doesn't have a place here in the Yankee organization. It's a good problem to have. I know Kay loves to say it's a good problem to have when you have too much starting pitching, but at the same time, it's an issue that the Yankees are going to have to work through. And I don't think storing Luis Gil in Scranton all year is the right way to go when you want to win a World Series this year. Use your assets to make the team better. And Luis Hill is an asset that they can use to make the team better right now by trading him and getting something either in the bullpen or a bat that they need. Now, you look at this game today, they mounted that late rally. Luis Hill was not very good. The lone highlight here was Aaron Judge hitting his 10th home run of the year once the game was kind of over. It was 7-0 at that point. He makes it 7-1. You know, you look at the season that Aaron Judge is having, and the power has been there pretty much throughout the course of the season. That's his 10th home run. Aaron Judge is on pace for 58 home runs this year, which is wild when you think about it, because Aaron Judge is hitting 230 on the season, and there's times, and even today, there's times where Aaron Judge has just looked a click off. In his first two at-bats, I looked at three different pitches where he should have hit 400 feet, and he's just a hair off. Now, what's that from? I don't know. So I'm sure somebody's going to tell me he's old. He just turned 34 today. Age, father time's catching up to him. The bat speed's not there. Is it possible? I'm not going to completely write it off because it could be, right? Do I think Aaron Judge is going to hit 230 all year? No, I don't think Aaron Judge is going to hit 230 all year. If you're an Aaron Judge optimist and a Yankee fan like I am, you're looking at the start to his season, the first 100 bats of his season where he's hit 10 home runs, and you're saying to yourself, okay, the chase is down from early on in the season. It just looks like a timing issue, and the power's been there all year. Just a matter of time where the 1-for-4s aren't solely home runs, and now it's a 2-for-4, it's a 3-for-4 where he's sprinkling a couple singles, and he walked 5 times in this series. So he's on base pretty much all series. He was on base 6 times in 3 games. So you'll take that. So you can see the improvements that he's made in his game. So I don't think that anybody that was freaking out about the 0-for-5 on opening day has any, validity in that. Because, like I said, the guy's hitting 230. The OPS is 929. Well, not Aaron Judge, it's still pretty damn good. A 900-plus OPS, that's top of the league right there. So you look at the first month of the season, and Aaron Judge has not played his best baseball, but he's still on pace for another special season. And that should scare the rest of the league. So again, I say this a lot. I'm not worried about Aaron Judge. We talk about him because he's Aaron Judge, and he's hitting 230, and people want to say ridiculous things about him, but there's nothing to really worry about. Once the timing clicks, forget it. It's game over. MVP again. Although Ben Rice is staking his claim to that MVP award, it looked like he was coming down a little bit. He had a little bit of a rough season series in Boston. He got back at it a little bit here in Houston, took an 0 for today, but he's hitting 326 with 1183 OPS. The guy has just been bonkers this year. And in the first inning, he ropes one right at somebody. Everything it just seems like even if Ben Rice takes an 0 for, he's still hit one or two balls right on the screws. That's why you cannot separate Aaron Judge and Ben Rice. You just can't do it, okay? They didn't do it today. The Yankees didn't score a lot until the end of the game. But you just can't split Rice and Judge. In fact, would you take the opportunity here and say to yourself, should Cody Bellinger be the leadoff hitter? And you go, Belly, Rice, Judge. Belly, Judge, Rice, but maybe with Stanton's uncertainty, you don't want to go that route because you don't really have a righty to go behind Ben Rice. But you can't break up Ben Rice and Aaron Judge. That has to be the 2-3 every day, or the 3-2, or the whatever. I'm sorry, not the 3-2. That has to be your 2-3 every day, whether it's Rice Judge or Judge Rice. And if you want to go lefty righty lefty, it has to be Judge Rice. I would put Rice at 3 right now. But again, without Stanton, you're gonna have to back up the lefty somewhere, whether it goes Bellinger, Rice Judge, or Judge, Rice, Bellinger. You're going to have to back up the lefty somewhere. I don't want Trent Grisham at the top of the lineup. That's just me. The Yankees did it again today. He went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. I would prefer Grisham down lower in the lineup. It's just, again, what are we doing with Giancarlo Stanton here? There's no definitive answer of this as of 5 o'clock on Sunday. It was a reported all day. Decision will be made once they get to Texas for Monday's game. I'll scroll here and see if we come up with anything. Maybe Boone speaking to the media right now. And then if we have any quotes here, but it seemed like they were going to give Stanton till Monday to make a decision. Because on Friday night, I think it was Escarra that hit the ball off the wall there. And you're saying to yourself, that looked like a ball that Stan probably should have scored on at second base. Maybe he held up thinking it could have been caught because it's short out there. But then you realize that he just wasn't running hard and that he was trying to flag somebody down when he got to second base and get out of the game at that point. And you're saying to yourself, here we go again. It doesn't matter what the Yankees do. It doesn't matter what Giancarlo Stanton does. The guy is going to get hurt. And now we're just hoping for a best-case scenario here where he got out of it, got out in front of it here a little bit. He said he felt better on Saturday. They haven't put him on the IL immediately, so maybe there's some optimism there. But it's just going to happen. We're not seeing a healthy Giancarlo Stanton in 2026, and we're not going to see one in 2027. Just have him. We say it as a joke, but it's true. You just have to have him healthy for September and October. And nobody's going to come on here and defend Giancarlo Stanton more than I'm going to defend Giancarlo Stanton. But the facts are the facts. We're only going to play him. We're not going to play him more than 3 days in a row. We're not going to put him in the outfield. We're going to build in these days off. We're going to, you know, remember a couple years ago, he cut back on the weightlifting and focused more on stretching, still getting hurt. Now he's got this chronic elbow thing. He's still got these soft tissue injuries. I love Giancarlo Stanton, man. This guy is a leader. He's somebody that has handled the media and the fans the right way from day one here in New York. The guy deserves a ring as much as anybody on this team right now. He just cannot stay on the field. Honestly, I'll be shocked if he's in the lineup on Monday. And at that point, you got to put him on the IL. The Yankees played short these last 2 days, which would lead me to believe that maybe they see something or think something that he doesn't have to. But I'll be shocked at this point. And yes, it should absolutely be Jason Dominguez getting the call, and Jason Dominguez should be playing every single day, especially if G goes on the IL on Monday. Texas is throwing 3 right-handers. Just drop him, drop Dominguez right in. He has gone down there and hit the cover off the ball, and you can DH him. You're worried about his defense? DH him. And then when Stan's ready to come back or Volpe's ready to come back, bye-bye, Randall Grichuk. Because I'm reading this out of Randy Miller on Saturday that it's going to be Dominguez, that they could choose to bring Volpe back early, although Boone kind of poo-pooed that today and said they want to extend the rehab another week. No. You put Jason Dominguez on the major league team. You put him in the lineup every day. You let the kid hit. The one thing we know that Jason Dominguez can do is he can hit left-handed. So let's utilize that. Let's have the best offensive team we can have moving forward here, especially with Giancarlo Stanton out. This is not rocket science, but we say it all the time here. We're the originators of this, Smart or Yankees. Don't Yankees this decision if Giancarlo Stanton has to go on the IL on Monday. Call up Jason Dominguez, DH him every single day. End of story. There's no reason to make it more complicated than that. Okay? And when Anthony Volpe is ready to come up, it's bye-bye Randall Grichuk. And then when Stan is ready to come back, that's where we have a conversation on our hands here. If Stan is going on EIL. Now, if it's a calf thing, you saw with Soto across town, it was only a couple weeks. Whereas, where Lindor looks like he's going to be a couple of months. But with the Yankees holding off Stanton, maybe it will only be a couple week thing here. The way the Yankees are playing, it doesn't seem like it's that serious. But again, it's Stanton, and why not just give him the 2 weeks instead of playing around with things and making it worse when you have Dominguez down there? So let's say it is 2 weeks for Stan, and it's 2 weeks for Volpe, or a week for Volpe. That's where you look at this bench and you say, where do you make the next move? You know, knowing the Yankees, it'll probably be Jason Dominguez, but that's not, to me, it's really how much do you want Ben Rice catching? That's the question to me, because if you want to catch Ben Rice once a week, then J.C. Escarra is the obvious answer, because that's your best team. Your best team is with Ben Rice catching once a week, day game after night game. Because let's be honest, you're not getting any. I know Austin Wells had a big home run on Saturday night, broke that tie before the Yankees were able to put the game away later on in the late innings there. You're not really getting much out of Austin Wells offensively. He's a good defensive catcher. Even with the ABS, he's still a good framer back there. And he has his advantages back there. I mean, J.C. Escarra is hitting the ball a little bit better here in the last week or so. But, okay, you're not going to – the Yankees aren't picking Escarra over Wells. I mean, that's really where the debate comes in, is how much you want to catch Ben Rice and if you're comfortable doing it once a week. Because if you are, then I'm not so quick to send Jason Dominguez back down to the minor leagues, because you know you're going to have Jose Caballero be your a bench piece for you. You know, you're not going to get rid of Paul Goldschmidt. So that's the move. I mean, that's something that the Yankees can really sit there and look at, where it's, okay, how do you want to get creative here? And honestly, the Yankees should have done this in the offseason with guys like Jonah Heim available and Christian Vasquez available, is go pick up a right-handed backup catcher. I mean, we look at sometimes how the Yankees are built, and we talk about poor roster construction. Not having your backup catcher be right-handed when the starter is left-handed and your, quote, third catcher is left-handed, it's ridiculous. And you don't need a big-time bat back there. You just need a capable major league catcher, and that's why I looked at guys like Jonah Heim and Christian Vasquez as guys that the Yankees could pick up on the cheap and have be your backup, where you don't have to have your backup be lefty, because we know how the Yankees love to platoon here. And you've got a really tough lefty on the mound, where you can go to one of those guys, where now you're just picking which lefty you think will look less have a little bit more of a chance here. And it's always going to be Wells, because Escarra is Escarra, okay? It just is what it is. So we know that Volpe is on his way back here. It sounded like from Randy Miller on Saturday night that the Yankees were actually considering an earlier call-up. And there was another report saying that he could be back by Francy Romero, I think it was, that said Wednesday or Thursday before they left. And Boone, again, threw a lot of cold water on this. I think the earliest that we would see him here would be Friday, and he being Volpe. I think the earliest that we would see him, I'm just quick scrolling here to see if Boone had anything to say regarding anything, but nothing here right now. The earliest that I would think that we would see Volpe is after the starting that series fresh, that four-game wrap. It's a weird four-game wraparound series the Yankees have to start May against Baltimore. So maybe that Monday or Tuesday against Texas. I would say that's the earliest you'd see him, but I would say probably by the time they hit the road again to take on Milwaukee on the 8th is when you'll see Anthony Volpe back. So you look at, and Jose Caballero, is a guy that's playing really good baseball right now. And it's not a coincidence in my mind that he started playing baseball a lot better when Anthony Volpe was smiling like a jerk that he is. No, I shouldn't say that, but smiling in the dugout in Tampa there. But he's Cabby's hitting 271, 731 OPS, and is playing a lot better defense. I mean, if he keeps this up for the next week, 10 days, whatever it is, until Volpe gets back, and he's hitting around 270, the OPS is around the 730, 740 range, and the defense is as good as it is, are the Yankees having a conversation here? And I still think the answer is no. I really don't think there is a conversation for the Yankees. If these are the numbers that we're going to look at, where the Yankees are going to say, well, maybe we'll hold Volpe back, or maybe we'll do this, or maybe no. The only thing I could see is Cabby getting a little bit of playing time at third base. And again, you look at that, and McMahon's starting to hit it a little bit now. I mean, it's not crazy, but Ryan McMahon hit his second home run of the season the other night. And if this will load, I can tell you what he's done here. And in his last seven games, he's hitting 263. We're talking Ryan McMahon. And his OPS is 721 in his last seven games. So if you're telling me Ryan McMahon is going to hit 260 with a 720 OPS this year with that defense, I'm signing for it. And then how much do you want to limit Amed Rosario's playing time? These are problems. You can say they're good problems, but they're still problems. These are things that are going to have to work themselves out here. And then you want to look at the last 15, McMahon's hitting 250 with the OPS at 725. 720 OPS, 250 for Ryan McMahon. Hey, the Yankees wanted 650 out of him. And I'm not saying these are great. You look at it, sometimes you look at these Yankee lineups going into the postseason, they have one or two guys hitting above 700. And again, I don't know if Ryan McMahon can sustain this throughout the course of the season, but you're looking at recent trends here. And let's look at what Caballero's done in the last 15 games. He's hitting 357. Cabby's hitting 357 over his last 15 games. I know exactly the words that I want to come out of my mouth are 15 games. He's hitting 357 over his last 15 with let me just do the math real quick here. With the OPS over 900, okay? No, we didn't blank out here. I'm just sitting here thinking in my brain, like, you got a guy here in Jose Caballero over the last 15 games who's hitting 370 with an OPS over 900. Okay. It's 979 to be exact. That's the type of number we were talking about in the offseason when we said, what does it need to look like for the Yankees to have a conversation with themselves about what to do with Anthony Volpe? I'd say 979 is in that ballpark for sure. Again, recent trends versus what you think they'll do over the course of the year. Hey, guys know that Anthony Volpe's on his way back. Guys know that that's going to cut into some of their playing times. Guys are playing better. And you want to see them step up when they know competition is coming. So that's a good job out of Ryan McMahon. That's a hell of a job out of Jose Caballero. Do I ultimately think the best version of the Yankees is with Cabby on the bench because he can be a weapon late in games coming in to steal bags? Yeah, I do. But if he's going to be anywhere close to this type of hitter, Anthony Volpe has not shown the ability to be this type of hitter. The OPS on the season yesterday when I posted this was 780, was in the 780s. And my buddy Joe, Time is Vilmatic on X said to me, And the Yankees will gladly sit Anthony Volpe for 100 less points on the OPS. And I replied, that's still, if he did that from where Caballero was yesterday in the 780s, and you drop 100 off of that and say that's what Volpe will do, that's still 20 points higher than Volpe's career high. That's how bad Anthony Volpe's been as a major league hitter. So right now, do the Yankees have to make a decision? No, but we know Volpe's coming back. And what are the Yankees going to do if Jose Caballero stays hot? What are the Yankees going to do if Ryan McMahon's bat picks up to match the defense or come close to what we just talked about, hitting 260 with a 715 or 750 OPS, whatever it was? You can't just hand Anthony Volpe back the job. That's the point we're getting at. And we might be a week to 10 days away from having to make this decision. But if McMahon continues hitting the way he's been hitting over the last 15 games, and Cabby continues to hit over the way he's been hitting over his last 15 games, and the Yankees continue to win, that's the key thing. If the Yankees continue to win, how do you then say to yourself, okay, Anthony, here's the job? Because at the end of the day, winning is more important than anything, isn't it? You can bring Anthony Volpe up to be a bench piece. And I know I've talked about this. Anthony Volpe reminds me of Brett Gardner in this regard. Not that he's a gamer. Not that he's somebody that you want up there in a big spot because you know he's going to grind out and give you the best at-bat possible, even if the results aren't always there. And we know Volpe's never proven to be the type of hitter that Brett Gardner was, even though Brett Gardner, for his career, was not a great hitter. Let's look. I love Gardy, but let's look up what Gardy was as a hitter for his career here. Let's bring this up right quick. Brett Gardner batted 256 for his career. Let's look at OPS plus. And was for his career 100. Where you take Anthony Volpe, who his OPS plus for his career so far has been 83. So you don't even want to put Volpe in the realm of Brett Gardner as an offensive player, because Brett Gardner, exactly league average for his career, while Anthony Volpe 17% worse. What I liken them to is while both good base runners and both relatively fast are not good base stealers. And there's a difference between being a good base runner and a good base stealer. Jose Caballero is a very good base stealer. Those two guys are very good base runners, but not good base stealers. There's a lot of it is instinctual, getting reads off of pitchers, your aggressiveness, your comfortability out there. And neither one of them has expressed that. So could you put Volpe on the bench for a slower base runner? Like if Goldie's playing, you know, first base that day and you want to score on a double in the gap and he's at first. Yeah, you know, if you're looking for Volpe to steal second base, probably not. Whereas Caballero, if you're looking for somebody to steal second base, yeah, probably. Although Cabby's got to stop trying to steal third base. Okay, we just got to say that. Cabby's got to stop trying to steal third, maybe pump the brakes there a little bit. But again, if you're looking at where Volpe's going to play, if McMahon and Cabby continue to hit the way they've been hitting over the last 15 games, he's not hitting anywhere. It's on the bench. Too bad, so sad, that there's nowhere for Anthony Volpe to go. But you got to win. And Aaron Judge turned 34 today. Yankees are the best team in the American League right now as of April 26, 28 games in. Long way to go. I know that. But the theme of this show in 2026 is about optimizing the opportunities in October. Optimizing opportunities in October. That's some alliteration for you. I'm a big alliteration guy, okay? There's another O for you. And how do you do that? You win your division. You become the best team in the American League. And through 28 games, that's the New York Yankees. And again, if Cabby and McMahon give you the best opportunity to the best chance to optimize those opportunities in October, I don't care who needs to sit on the bench. Those are the guys that are playing. And you can't just shoehorn Anthony Volpe in because you got to live up to some marketing expectation that you had for him or whatever. Winning is more important because, like we said, Aaron Judge is 34. How many more years of Superman are we getting? We're already post Tommy John surgery, Gerrit Cole. He's 35 years old. Get these guys a ring. This is the year to do it. There's no superpower in the American League. Honestly, there is no superpower in the American League. If the Jays and Red Sox are going to continue to play like this, there's nobody that should stand in the Yankees' way of getting back to the World Series. And then, are they going to nut up when it comes time to face the Dodgers or the Padres? Because to me, I look at the National League, those are the two teams that are going to stand in anybody's way right now. And there's going to be an arms race between the two of them at the trade deadline and going into October because they're in the same division. So one of them is unfortunately going to be in a wild card for them. The Braves are the first team to 20 wins. Do I believe in them? You know, not really to get out of the National League. The Mets, dude, they just lost 12 in a row. They might not make the postseason. The Phillies were right behind the Mets in a losing streak, but nobody really paid attention to it, especially around here, because the Phillies picked up a win to snap their losing streak, and then they lost again. They're 9-19 right now. Since he's 18-10, Cubs are 17-10. Do I believe in them to go and get past the Dodgers or the Padres? No, I'm sorry to say it, I don't. It's really the Dodgers are right now as we're still recording the show right here. Padres 18-8, Dodgers 18-9, Yankees 18-10. So they're right there. And then you look, you're 20-9 for Atlanta. Those are the four best teams in baseball right now. I mean, you want to throw Cincinnati up there, but again, I got to see it break out through the course of 162. Your four best teams in baseball are Dodgers, Padres, Atlanta, and the Yankees. There's no American League teams that are really there. Tampa's 16-11. That's they're 1-4 in a row. They swept the Yankees. You put them as a real threat. I don't really see anybody being a real threat in the Central. Texas is the best team in the West, and so is the Oakland. Oakland played the Yankees tough. They won 2 out of 3 here. They're both 14-13. Again, it's early. A lot's going to change in a month. When we take a look at what's going on at Memorial Day, a lot can change in a month. But right now, projecting out, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. Again, things can always change. Optimize the opportunities for October. And right now, 28 games through the season, you can't ask for much more than what the Yankees have done. They erased the 5-game losing streak. They won 8 in a row. They're back at the top of the American League East. Just continue to win series. Continue to play good baseball. We're not really asking for much here. And you're heading to Texas, and you're going to face some pretty tough customers in the Texas pitching staff here. You got 8:05 on Monday night. It's Max Fried against Jack Leiter, who, you know, he's pitching to a 4.97, 4.82 overall for his career. Is he great? No, but he could have the capabilities of shutting somebody down. So that's a game. If you're looking at where the Yankees have an advantage in this series, oh, bam, right there. Max Fried on the mound against Jack Leiter. Win the game. This should be a lot of fun on Tuesday. Okay, just as a baseball fan, 8:05 on Tuesday, this should be a lot of fun. Cam Schwitler against Jacob DeGrom. 1.77 for Cam, 2.13 for DeGrom. That should be a lot of fun to sit there and watch that pitching duel. And then they wrap up this 9-game road trip, 2:35 on Wednesday. Will Warren against Nate Eovaldi. Nate Eovaldi's not pitched well to begin the season, 5.79, but we know he always gives the Yankees fits. Could be a little tricky down in Texas. Find a way to win 2 out of 3. You want me to believe that you're the best team in the American League? You want me to believe that you're actually going to optimize the opportunities for October? Win this series. Come home before come home and you're tasting another little taste here of the American League with Baltimore and then Texas again. What's the theme of the show? Optimize opportunities. How do you do that? Go to Texas, win a series. Come home, still in first place, and April, the best team in the American League. Speaking of ending things, I can't say it enough. Hopefully you guys realize this is the final season of NYYST. This is our final show of April. We have already concluded April. We've concluded the first month of the final season. The opportunities and the shows are dwindling and dwindling fast here. So please make sure you are subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, the one that you're listening to us on right now, so you don't miss any shows of the final season of NYYST. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review, man. Show us some love on the way out. We appreciate you guys so, so much. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And please make sure you are also subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube, designated Spitters Game Season Live. And obviously for me and catching the Bronx or Nowhere, which we will be back live this Thursday at 8:30. We love you guys so much. We appreciate all the support, not just through the final season, but all 10 seasons of NYYST. Wouldn't still be here without you guys. But as we always say, every good thing must come to an end. This is the final season. So please stay with us. Enjoy every last bit of it. Make sure you are subscribed. We love you guys. This has been episode 524. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you next time.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.